ready for the word.
Psalm 68 verse 6. God says the solitary family, Psalm 68 verse 6. He brings out those who are bound in chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. God said the lonely in families. Some versions will say he puts the lonely in households. Who has households or houses or homes? Anyone? Apart from families. You have another word apart from family in your own Bible. I know this is a KJV church, but some people use HIV. They don't use KJV, they use another one. Any other version? You have another version. Your hands? What did he say? He said? In families, okay. Any other version? Any other version? They are not in church? I think I used to see like three hands before. Why did I see only one? Right. He says the solitary in families. Of course, households. It's the Greek word for when you are in a house, right? So he puts the lonely, he's talking about what God does. He put the lonely in families. So the question will now be, where is the family of God? What is the family of God? You can corroborate with 2 Timothy 3, where Paul now tells Timothy, if I tarry, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the family of God, because of the household of God. 2 Timothy 3, look at it, I'm not quoting. We are Christians, that means we came with Bibles, not Quran. Right? Sorry, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 3:15 is just somewhere locked. 1 Timothy 3:15. 14 says, these things I write to you, Timothy, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry, if I stay longer than I should, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, in the household of God, in the family of God, which is the church of the living God. So when you say the house of God, it's not a building. The house of God is the family of God. Jesus told disciples in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's household. The word oikia in the Greek. In my Father's family. How many of you have read the E.W. Kenyon's and his family? The Father and his family. Anyone? Wow. That's too few. It's a beautiful book. I read it 2006. That was the first time I read. And then I read 2009. Then I ensure to read it almost every year. I've not read it this year, so I put myself in the public now. Now I have to go and read it. Father and His Family, such a beautiful book. It's depends on which version you buy. You can buy the one that they printed in Abba. It can have another cover, but the real cover is cream and brown. Father and His Family. Beautiful book. I recommend. Amen. Alright, so when you say, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, there are many mansions. He's talking about the Father's family. There are many. That where I am, there you may be also as a son of God. So he wasn't talking about geography. He was talking about inheritance as a child of God. That where I am, there you may be also. So God has a family. Say God has a family. And I'm part of it. I'm part of it. You know, sometimes the devil can whisper to you and say, you, do you think you're actually you? You know the things you've done? You know the things you've said? Do you know how people see you? No, I'm part of God's family. If you have believed the gospel, then you are a child of God. A child of God means you are part of God's family. Mama, papa, picking. Amen? Sorry. I just have to say that. Some of you don't understand. It's fine. So I'm part of God's family. All right, good. So, Paul explains to us that God's family is the church of the living God. He says the pillar and the ground of truth. So when he says he set the solitary in families, it means God had a plan from the beginning. God's plan is that the believer, the one who is his child, will be in his house. David will say, surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life, or shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Again, he wasn't talking about a temple, the physical temple. He was talking about a position in God's family. That is, I'll be a child of God forever. Again, the statement of our inheritance in Christ, of eternal life, is forever. Say forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. It is forever. Amen. Alright, so he puts the solitary
in his house. That's God's plan. And that's why I tell people, I tell believers, God never made anybody to walk alone. I'm not talking about Liverpool fans now. You won the league, fine. Congratulations. Are we going to win it next season? No. But anyway, I'm just telling you, I told you the last one. I'm telling you now for free. No. Alright. So, you can go to 26, 27 now. Alright. Just say, that football club Arsenal, don't support it. Don't support it. For now, I can come back later and say, yeah, we've won, support. For now, don't support it. I don't want my church members to go through some things. Hallelujah. Alright, so, where was that before Arsenal stepped in? So, God never made man to walk alone. We were meant to walk in a family. There is no Christian, you say, I'm a Christian, I'm at home. You say, why are you not going to church? God lives in me. He talks to me directly. Eh? He lives in every one of us. See, there's a special connection I have with God. So, don't you have it? Don't you have it too? Don't you have it too? It's the way motivational speakers tell you, everybody is special. If everybody is special, it means no one is special. Because we are all special. It's semantics. See, why do you become special? Because you have a unique fingerprint. Don't you? If I have a unique fingerprint and you have a unique fingerprint and you have a unique fingerprint, then nobody has a unique fingerprint. Logic. Through, false. sorry. It's just, the only way I am unique is if I have a unique fingerprint and all of you have the same. Then I say I'm unique. But you have a unique one. No one is unique. Hallelujah. We are all special to God. You can't say, I have a relationship with God. He dwells in me. The same with, he dwells in Kenneth Hagin. He dwells in Renard Bonnke. Amen. He dwells in me. That cannot be the excuse to stay away from church. And I say this often. When the devil wants to walk on a believer, one of the first things he does is to ensure that he stays away from where God can talk. Because God's word rescues a man. Saves a man. He's still saving man. And we keep saving man. Amen. So, we are in his family. The writer of Hebrews, we say in Hebrews chapter 10. Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. So, God's plan is that we are all in his family. Right? Paul calls that family the church of the living God. The church of the living God. Hebrews 10, verse 25. I'll start with verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's what the church is for. Must always provoke one another to love and to good work. Can we verse 25 together, everybody? Want to go? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day. So not forsaking the assembly of one another, as the manner of some is. That means it's not new for people to say, I don't go to church. In fact, we are in a generation where you got to be careful. You know, in some way we say it as, it's the woke generation. It's all fine. I'm also Gen Z. Amen? Amen? It's time you see it's not, yeah? It's the road to, it's good. You are not Gen Z. You have told us now. You are not Gen Z. We Gen Zs. Gen Z, I'm 16, right? I'll be 17. When? Next week, right? You are where? When will I be 17? Next week. Thank you. And because we are Gen Zs, and we are young, you know, we have, hey, Jesus Christ. We have vibes. Amen. I mean, nobody thinks they call them again. We have vibes, right? And you can be so naive that you fall into the trap of the devil to forsake what has been in the church. Now people try to reinvent the church. Christianity does not thrive on innovation. Christianity thrives on tradition. Science thrives on innovation. You can't be traditional with science. Science has to improve. Science has to, they have to find new ways, new methods. Are you listening to me? When I was in school, there was a way they were teaching us to manage certain conditions. And they will tell you, this is what's applicable. Evidence-based practice. This is what has been proven true. None of that. Now, you go for some seminars,
and you read certain books and certain workshops now that you attend, and they're telling you, now there's an FDA approved practice that this. Now you can improve on this one. There's now a new machine. There's this laser now that you can, and I'm wondering, that was not taught. In fact, your lecturer will tell you that time, if you see any kind of this, you see some people, they will be telling you to use things like laser. Don't use it. The same lecturer is seated in the same seminar now, and he's jotting. Because science thrives on innovation. But the church of God does not thrive on innovation. If the Lord has not changed, you don't change his word. Jesus is the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. Hebrews 13:8. If he has not changed, then his church has not changed. It's still a praying church. It's still a preaching church. We don't innovate. Say, we don't really preach like that. What we do is that we call youths. We find a way of calling youths. No, his church has not changed. I say, people don't really like preaching now again, no? It's not about preaching, no? If you preach, they'll just go, they'll still go. So what do we do? Say, you find good music. No, don't be singing all this, and in the house of the Lord. Oh no, God, it's working. Say, you put all these dance steps, you ensure that. Say, everybody, let's go! Right? That's the Victoria. We sow, we harvest. Right? He said, Moses came out of mountain, so they dab. That they cannot see, that they could not behold the face of Moses, so they dab. And over thousands of people, everybody was like, and we do all of that, not we. All of that is done in the bid to win souls. But no, the gospel still wins souls. I put it to you that the gospel is still the power of God to salvation. Don't count it as powerless. His method has not changed. Christianity does not thrive on innovation. No. We must keep the basics. Are you listening to me? So, God has called us to his church. He says, not forsaking the manner of our gatherings as the manner of some is. That means a time must not come when we say, you know what? I just want to be attending online churches. There's nothing like an online church. Now listen to me. I'm not saying you can't listen to teachings online. Sometimes follow a program online on that. Anyone who is doing that they're doing the Lord's work. Amen. It's not a wrong thing. It's not a sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when it now gets to a time where there's too much convenience to say, you know what, I'm not even going to church. What am I going to do? I'm just going to go to church. I'm just going to stream it on the TV. Then you are no longer using technology to spread the gospel. You are using it to hinder the gospel. How can you be watching church? Then they show you the number of people that are seated. If those ones are not seated, what will you see to watch? Sometimes we don't use common sense. If everybody stayed at home like you, it's the pastor that will set the camera. As he starts the camera, we shoot. Do like this. You're not playing keyboard. We're building the house of the Lord. But you're enjoying the music. That's what I like about that church. See our music. Eh? Not girls out there. Building the house of the Lord. See music. See edification. But some people made that edification possible. They set up the chairs. Set up the microphone. Maybe the pastor just came. And he took microphone. And he's preaching. Some people made that possible. Are you listening to me? We must not get innovative. Let's take it from church. Let's take it to your personal lives. Don't get innovative with your walk with God. It can get better. I'm not saying it doesn't get better. It can get better, but don't innovate. Don't innovate the excitement. I'm going to find new ways to get excited. Don't innovate the excitement. Don't innovate the joy. Keep it basic. Are you listening to me? I will explain that much more later. Hallelujah. Alright, so we said we are in the church. So if we are in the church, there is something the devil would try to do. If he cannot stop you from going to church, because we said everywhere you see the building of the church, you are going to see something. You are going to see the head of the serpent. Everywhere you see the son of the woman, the serpent will rear his head. Are you listening to me? It definitely means, and you can quote me anywhere, If I don't see the head of the serpent, I'm not with the Son. Where there is no opposition, you are not doing nothing. Where there is no fight back, when you don't see anything shake your faith, then you're not serving the Lord yet. I say this way. Sometimes, opposition is proof that you're with Jesus. Sometimes we get so complacent as Christians with no pressure. Let me just be like this. Nothing should be pressuring me. I will just pray I just feel excited to pray. You know, the fact that you are not feeling excited to pray is not showing, sometimes now, it's not showing you're not growing spiritually. It's showing that you're not experiencing a fight back. Are you listening to me? Any footballer can show skills. But when you get to a Champions League final and you're doing rainbow flick, your teammate will slap you. Amen. This is not training. This is business. So sometimes the lack of that excitement in growth, the lack of that is because you are now in serious business. Have you get what I just said now? Have you been in secondary school before? And then, okay, so most of you here, you should have been in secondary school. It's 25. And you know the answers. The exam is coming. And before you can just say, that one, C. That one, D. It's filtration now. Segregation. Crystallization. I can imagine some of you like that. Sit down. Plus 2 minus 4 raised to power 95,000. You say, yeah, a few weeks. You are saying everything. The moment they put the exam paper in front of you, crystallization. Only I can remember is nation. So you now write Ibile nation. Because there's now opposition. Hallelujah. So don't get bored. Don't lose the vigor. When it looks like the excitement is lower, it means you are in business. Are you listening to me at all? The first miracle Jesus did was turning water to wine at the Cana of Galilee. All fresh and good. Until Judas kisses you. Then he cried. See, when the business starts, it's no longer about the excitement. It's about getting the job done. The parable of the places. I don't know why we're doing this direction this night. The parable of the places, there is one that receives the seed on the hard ground, right? He says it's the one that receives the word with joy. There's an excitement. Whoa! Ha! I'm growing. See, pastor, when pastor teaches like this, yeah, I grab it, yeah. What Jesus did not tell you about the good soil is he necessarily did not have the joy. He necessarily did not have the excitement. Because fruitfulness isn't about jumping. May the Lord bless his word in your heart. How did I get here? I don't know how I got here. You pushed me here. How did I get here? So excitement is not a proof. It's not a proof of anything. The one who I'm not saying you're not joyful. I'm saying it's not a proof of my growth or my consistency. Sometimes it's in the chaos you find the excitement. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That means he endured. There's no ministry without endurance. Endurance, perseverance is a fruit of the Spirit. That means if I'm walking with God, endurance, I must hold it somewhere. It's transport fare. There's a fallacy. There's a deception of the devil that, if I'm truly serving Jesus, every day I'll just be joyful. I'll just be excited to pray. I'll just be excited to fast. Then that means you have not started any work. Amen? You have not started any work. The day you start the work, the day you are a vessel and a tool for God's kingdom. I don't know if a pastor should be saying this, but there's a saying, they say, when the sheet hits the fan. Amen. That's when you know, there's work. That's what I'm saying, there's work. All right, how did we get here, please? You have all moved me here. Huh? So we're in the church, right? So I said, the devil, everywhere you see the sun. Yeah, thank you. Everywhere you see the sun, nobody's. I don't say thank you to anybody. I say thank you to myself. Because I'm a member. I say, everywhere you see the sun,
the serpent will rear its head. And sometimes it rears it to stop a believer from fulfilling God's mandate, being in his family, right? But sometimes, if he sees that, oh, you're in the family, then what he does is to create counterfeit. Remember we said that last week? So, the devil creates counterfeits. Fakes. And people now use that as an excuse. I've seen people say, I don't go to church because they are fake churches. Am I going to say, oh, they are not? I can't say that. But tell me something in this world that is beneficial, that does not have a fake. And I'll tell you something that is not beneficial. Every true thing that edifies, that builds up, that blesses as a fake. That's why you have fake medications, not fake poisons. Nobody gives a fake poison. You're still going to kill, nevertheless. Nobody gives a fake poison. I mean, see, that man, they arrested him. Why? He was selling fake poison. It's things that help, that are counterfeits. Amen? So, I expect the church to actually have counterfeits. But by God's grace, they will be fished out one by one. Counterfeits. Even though they are fakes. But because they are fake medications, does not mean, oh, you now stop using paracetamol altogether. Because they are fake paracetamols. No. See, they are fake schools, so I will not go to school. See, what about Unilag? I will not go to school. They are fake schools. I don't even know whether they are fake. Don't go. You become Dongoyaro. I don't know. They say some people are selling fake food. So I'm not going to eat all my life. They say, rice, there's a rice in the market that is fake. They say, don't eat rice for the next 25 days. Why? Say they poison something from the cause. Oh, as I was reading it, now rice at the chop with pepper soup. Say, hey, they poison. They poison. Scoop them. They poison him. Ah, yeah. Say, ah, Nigeria fed Ghana. Kind of statement, you just don't nonsense. Nigeria vegan, so they now put something that will rise. I see nonsense. There's nothing that edifies that the devil does not create a counterfeit. That's why you have fake tongues. People fake miracles. They fake things. And because the devil can create counterfeits, one of the duties of the church of God is that we must learn to discern, to separate things. I told you, one of the things God did first, one of the first activities of God that we saw in Genesis 1, is that he separated light from the darkness. Amen? And God separated the light from the darkness. We must learn to do that. But it gets a bit more technical. Because real discernment, and I told you, what year did I teach discernment? 2019? 2020? I can't remember. And I told you that it's not even just good from bad. Discernment sometimes can mean separating good from almost good. So sometimes, what is there? When you say counterfeit, counterfeit has to look like the original. Amen? Have you see Chelsea, for example, Chelsea has a football club. Some of you think it's a football club. You see? Man City, you think it's a football club. That's counterfeit. Counterfeit has to look like the original. But it's not an original. Amen? Can I have an amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Baracosa. Centerabaya. Arsenal. Those are clubs. Manchester United. You might be in the... But they are clubs. Liverpool. Very good club. Like, clubs that we knew, like, from this... Chelsea came from somewhere. We just heard that one Russian guy bought a club. And before you know it, they bought all the trophies. And they started doing things. The devil creates counterfeits. Can I have a name, man? Man City, is that one a club? That one a club. You know any Man City fan? I don't know. There's one in Jesus Church that says Man City. And I know he's an Arsenal fan before. It's when Arsenal was failing. All of them now went to Man City. Counterfeit. It has to look like the original. Don't get the message lost in all these ones. So. You say, ha, what did you learn in church today? Ha, Chelsea, counterfeit. So, what will a fake counterfeit church, which is no church, it will look like church, to sound like church, it will feel like church. Imagine you enter a place and they are all wearing red and black, like this down. No drum, no keyboard. You just see on, people blowing on. Then you see some people just say, yeah. Maybe they are singing him.
You know what I'm saying? Vuvulela. Shall be South Africa more wine. La la de la. To him, Lucifer. You just look for the door. Are we? Because you know that's one, it's not church. The devil is smart. He's a smart devil. He won't create a church like that. Because when you see that one, you just run. Mm-mm. To sound like church. So discernment is knowing good from almost good. Without discernment, everything goes down. We won't be edified. Don't forget, discerning of spirit is one of the gifts of the spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. The ability to recognize what God is doing. Apart from what the devil is doing. We must teach it. Proverbs 14. Hey, learn something. Oh yes, Chelsea. No good, no sin, I can't have it. Proverbs 14. Verse 12 is a popular verse, you know. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Observe the word, seems right. That means when the man is looking at it, there's nothing wrong in that way. That's why I say discernment is key. Because it literally, the lack of it can destroy a life. Say, when the man is looking at the way, it looks right. You can't blame him. He didn't say the man went the wrong way. He said, the way seemed right. I'm praying for you. That in the name of the Lord Jesus, you and I, we walk in discernment. We recognize what God is doing. Away from what the devil is doing. We don't walk in the way of death. We don't walk in the way of destruction. In the name of Jesus. Like that. The way seems right. But it's not right. Be careful for what seems right. Be careful. Something to one of you in the week. Be careful for what seems right. It just looks right. It just looks. No. Be careful. Find out God's word. What's God saying about this? Amen. There's a way that seems right. So, in ways, you need discernment. Look at Proverbs 15, just the next chapter. Verse 20. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Happy Father's Day. Verse 21. Can we read verse 21 together? Foolish joy to him that is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. And that word wisdom there is discernment. Fully is joy to him that is destitute of discernment. Who has discernment in their own version? Anyone? AKJV. That's the only one I can see now. It's actually what discernment. In my book, I even wrote discernment directly. Fully is joy to him that lacks discernment. That means he does something foolish, but he says, yeah, I got excited. In fact, this is the first time in a long time I felt good about myself. Fully is joy to him that lacks discernment. You won't lack discernment. Fully joy. He said, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. So that means understanding is needed in the body of Christ. Understanding is a knowledge is knowing what. Wisdom is knowing how. Understanding is knowing why. I'll say it again. Knowledge is what? What is going on? Okay, this was going on. This is it. This is that. Wisdom is knowing how. How do I now? I have to be wise in dealing with this. How do I apply it? But understanding is knowing why. Why is this that? I pray you have understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. You walk more in understanding. Amen. It says, foolish joy to him that lacks discernment. But the one who has understanding walks uprightly. So, to walk more in discernment, we need understanding. Why do we teach God's word? Why do we come to church? We are Christians, we just go to church. We don't know why we come to church. Are we coming to church too, so that God can bless us? So that we can be rich? Oh, that's a good thing. But that's not why there is church. Jesus did not commission any church so that they can raise billionaires. It's a false teaching. In fact, many are in the church of Christ today so that God can just do something fast. If I sow very well, I know I go reap. It doesn't work like that. I remember someone asked me a question some years ago. One of you seated there and said, why don't we take testimonies that I said, I have nothing against testimonies. We actually take testimonies. Amen. In case you have testimonies and all of that, share with your cell leader. Amen. Say, testimony. We cell leader. Kuni doom. Until you come to the, oh yeah, one, praise the Lord. I want to thank the God of our Father on this mountain. Lord, Baba, Waluri, okay. Last year I was single. This year I'm plural. The God that made me plural. I pray for everybody. Ah, you know why? Our faith are different. We are in different journeys. And it's not 2 + 2 with God's spirit. How it deals with me is not how it deals with you. It's not how it deals with you. It's not how it deals with you. Albeit, his plans for all of us, Jeremiah 29:11, are good. So, sometimes you can hear what someone else did, and he says, I thought God, that if I can just give pastor $500,000, I like that. I would like God to be working with that kind of thing. Amen. Don't you think so? Say, God asked me to give you. I say, eh? You sure? No, be me ask him. Double check. Are you a Chelsea fan? I don't want. Amen. Actually, I don't like anything from Chelsea fans. I don't know. I think it's dirty money. They ought me. What am I talking about before Chelsea stepped in? Counterfeit. So we're in different journeys. So, and God just told me that I should pray for and fast for 49 days. You know, there are people that can make a doctrine out of that. So someone is at the back listening and say, okay, you shall just pray for and fast for 49 days. God is not asking you to pray for 49 days. It's not a collective instruction. Sometimes you give testimony. I just got that job. I did not apply. I didn't even know anything. But he has an uncle there. That one is not in the testimony. That my uncle is the GMD, the group managing director. No, he's not there. I just say, by a miraculous hand. Uncle Kazim. The miraculous hand. By a miraculous hand. I saw my name. And the church. And someone said, me that was praying. Oga. He has to go before Shetima. Amen. Why do we come to church? Understanding helps us to walk in discernment. Why do we pray? Why? I've told you, if everything you serve the Lord for is things, you have not found Jesus. He is not opposite of gold and silver, but there is more to him than gold and silver. That you are serving God does not mean you not be poor, you will be wretched. No. You can have gold and silver and still have him. But he is way, 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 infinitely more treasurable than gold and silver. And I pray you find that out. Amen. So there'll be counterfeits. And the job in the church is that we must train, and we must train believers to recognize counterfeits. Because only a baby does what? Put everything in his mouth. The sign of maturity is, I said, this is not food. Is that clear? Eh? This is not food. Ah, this one is stone now. But a baby will see stone after tasting it. But if it was poison too, that's how you like, huh? No, have you watched this on Nollywood? Don't put poison inside tea. Then taste it. Like the poison got there very well. So what happened to you? Nothing. Because it was not meant for you. I love Nollywood. I think it has improved. Amen. I prefer it to all these American films that are just fighting and kicking each other. It's not cultural. Irrelevant to me. Discernment must be taught. To know the difference. Paul says in Ephesians 4, he gave some pastors and teachers. He mentioned apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastoring teachers. He says, for the work of ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, Ephesians 4, 12 now, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. He says, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto full stature, of Christ. That's verse 13. That verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. By every wind of doctrine. That means, if a believer is not well taught, he'll be here and there. He will walk into separate places till he walks into the covenant of the devil. But that's not you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So discernment is proper. So, we saw Peter. Now, 2 Peter 2. which is our text now. I say, hey, we are just getting the text. Mabino. Verse 1. But there were false prophets also among you, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Interesting. So that means the issue of false prophets and false teachers is not a 21st century thing. I've told you, everywhere you see the Son of God, you will see the serpent rear its head. Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. My church and the gates of hell, that means everywhere you see the building of the church, the gates of hell is ready to oppose. There are false teachers among you. See, verse 2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. It tells you how you recognize them. Through covetousness. They shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. That English might be too much. It means because they are covetous and greedy, they will extort you money from you. One of the markers, one of the ways you know a pastor is watch what he teaches about money. Everybody can flow in the gift of the Spirit. Even someone who just got born again today can actually speak in tongues and can actually heal the sick. If you want to know how someone walks with the Lord and hears his voice, watch their stance on materialism. It speaks loud. Is that clear? What does the Bible teach you about money? Again, I think we've taught enough. Who can give you any teaching? Money matters. Uh-huh. Let's talk about money. My faith and my money. Uh-huh. So you can go listen to those teachings. My faith and my money. Let's talk about money. Money matters. Uh-huh. Money matters is the recent one, I mean. Oh, let's talk about money. Anyone? Fine. But those will be enough. In the coming days, we'll probably teach you more because it's a stronghold. Amen. When you see what someone teaches about money, not just collecting money from you, but about you having money too. Because the Bible is not loud on it. And you have to be loud where the Bible is loud and be quiet where it's quiet. And be silent when it's silent. That shows you are not a preacher of yourself. You are a preacher of the Lord. You are a preacher of His Word. That means if His Word is loud on something, you are loud on it. If God's Word is very gentle, quiet about it, not really, then that must be your tone. So, Peter says, they will make merchandise of you. And I say it this way, it takes a false congregation to make a false prophet. When you two are looking for fake miracles about, you will see people that will do drama for you. But there was one man like that in Ibadan. Many years ago, not many years ago, how old am I? I'm 16. I don't remember the year. So, I remember, so they exposed him. I don't know whether it was true or not, but I think it was true. Because eventually he confessed to saying, oh yeah, that he does this sometimes. But that sometimes God, they use him. So, they lay naked wire under the rug. So they will push you there. There's no way you're not going to fall under the power. And you fall to one of again. So you say, ah, power did this torture. But there was a naked wire. That one brush of light is on it. That's it. Yeah, Leon. Bam. So you say, I'm serious. This happened 2004. You know, like me. You go, and that thing happens. So everybody, oh. So they said, saying that people just fall, nothing happens to them. So he wanted to innovate. You see, because one sin will always lead to another sin. The way the devil works. He said the way seemed right to the man. That means at the beginning of the way, it was right. At the end, it was death. Sin progressively destroys the man. At the beginning of the way, it all looks right. By the time the man gets to the middle, he knows that he's already in the way of death. He knows. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You walk in this amen in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Peter says, they will make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Go to verse 14. Verse 13. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spot they are, and blemishes, spotting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast on you. Having eyes full of adultery. So again, a church's stand on sexual immorality is important. I remember on campus, I was discussing with someone at work recently, but David was there. And we're talking about a particular fellowship that was known for all sort of atrocities, especially sexual atrocities. I remember meeting one of the fellowship presidents once, and he used to play bet, you know. So basically I was discipling. I can't call disciple because that guy wasn't a disciple. So I was talking to someone and I've been trying to like help him out of gambling addiction. So he just came back to the hostel with a picture of that fellowship president. He said, "No, be your fellow pastor with this." That's what he told me. He said, "No, be your fellow pastor with this. We meet for Kenina." Say, "Even play go-go." I play over 9.2. Sorry, I don't understand how it works. So that's what I said. Over 3.9, whatever, sir. He said, "Ah, he's not your fellow." So, and I remember we greet often. So I asked him one day, I said, why do you gamble? So he looked at me and said, it's something around, we are free in Christ. Free to play Baba Jebu. No. So later, he started talking to me and then, I'm not talking to him. He wasn't talking to me. I really don't talk to people like that on campus then. You know now, I'm just in my hostel, in fellowship and in class. I'm not the guy you find anywhere, really. So, I later saw, he was going to write an exam and some people were doing security for him, fellow students. And they were carrying bag. So when he got back, he said, "What happened? Were you going for administration or something?" He said, "No, he was writing an exam." So they waited outside. He said, "You can't do that." So he looked at me and said, he started teaching me about honor. He started teaching me about honor. I said, "No, you can't do that." When everything was going to scatter, so there was a time, he was having fellowship with some sisters in an hotel room. They're having fellowship meeting. Amen. The big hall you use is not enough. All the fields in school is not enough for God's move. It's one small hotel, upper room, Pentecost. Was exposed, things happened. You had extra years upon extra years. I said, there is no gospel you're preaching that can lead you to this. I say it again. You can't preach the gospel and end up with the fact that adultery does not matter. You can never get to that conclusion. That what you do with your body does not matter. It's not all that matter is my heart. Heart, okay? Okay, God does not look at the outward. He looks at the in, pele, in drive. Will you drink from a cup that has feces all around it, even if the water is clean? Answer. Eh? Because the way in is out. Your mouth will touch the outside. I say, no, my big guy. You just always find ways of walking the parable way. God is interested in both your in and the out. That's why when David, even though God said David was a man after my heart, but when David sinned, God sent Nathan. He has sinned. It's not just about your heart, it's after me. Your body too. You get there. See, having eyes full of adultery, verse 14. And cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. And hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, caused children. Ah, Peter was angry. I cannot really. Verse 17 now says, these are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So Peter now calls them wells without water. Wells without water. That is, these ones are not Jesus' people. Don't forget, I told you last week, I said, Jesus used water in John chapter 4, living water for himself. I'm going to see what he did, because he did a contrast in John 4. But that's not for today. Peter says, when you see false prophets, they are wells without water. They look like they have something to offer, but they're empty. Someone tells you, if you can sow 1 million naira, what God is going to do for you, you're going to see 1 billion naira in the next 2 weeks, and you're not asking questions. Money is leg attender. There is no miracle money. I'll say it again. God can meet your needs by speaking to someone to give to you needs. People have different needs, though. Some people's need is 1 billion. Even their company is wrecking and then the need can be, you get what I'm saying, 800 million to save the company. Some people need is data. Pastor, 2 gig. Need 2 gig, we have signing. needs are different. God will meet your needs. Amen. Someone's upgrading their need now. Say, let me upgrade our needs. Calm down. Someone tells you, you're going to have miracle money. And you be miracle money. Why? You're a thief. Like, tell it to yourself. Look at the mirror and say, oh, boy, Olenye. Miracle money. You expect that one day you wake up and you find money in your wardrobe. Okay, you don't have wardrobe. Then I must go. You just find money. Why can't you have a miracle baby? Your wife is not pregnant. Nothing, no 9 months. You just wake up and you're, and you don't run. See, God has done it finally. A miracle baby. Why can't you have a miracle house? Or a miracle wife? You didn't pay anybody's back price. No wedding, no nothing. You just woke up to someone beside you. Say, honey. Honey, kini. I'm bitter. I'm not honey. Bitter leaf. Say, no, I don't know you. I bind you. Why are you binding him? You want miracle money. Miracle provisions. You're a thief. Only. Barao. What does Igbo call thief? Onyoshi. That don't sound like thief. Onyoshi. That's the doctrine. Onyoshi. Amen. A thief. And when a fake, a counterfeit, devil-inspired, devil-raised teacher sees that a believer is also filled with greed, they work on it. It takes a false congregation who don't know God's word, who don't understand how and why we pray, why we study God's word, why we teach, why we come to church, to make a false teacher. Jesus says they are wells without water. What they are promising, they can't give. It's a well. It's empty. I pray for you that you function more in discernment. Amen. You are not deceived. Amen. And you are not tossed to and fro. Amen. Learn something? Share with your neighbor in 2 minutes what you learned.